Okay, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Des Moines Register Soapbox. I'm Carol Hunter, politics editor of the Des Moines Register, and we're very glad to welcome our first soapbox speaker of the fair. It's Mitt Romney, the former governor of Massachusetts. Of course, Mr. Romney is seeking the Republican nomination for the presidency, and without further ado, let's give him an Iowa welcome.
Thank you, Carol. Carol, thank you. Thank you for the work of the Des Moines Register, one of the great papers in America that keeps our democracy free and open. Appreciate the free press and the work that you do. It's good to have so many friends here today. What a great day. This is fabulous. Isn't this something? Boy, last time I was here, about 4 years ago, oh, you couldn't quite hear? I'll speak louder, I guess. Does that work better? Yeah. Here's Brian Kennedy. How you doing, Brian? It looks like I've stacked the crowd with a couple of old friends, and I appreciate the fact that I'm here with folks that I've known for some years and appreciate your help. This is a challenging time. I wish I could start off with terrific news about how well the country's doing and what bright prospects people feel in their hearts right now, but right now most people are concerned about the country and recognize that America is in crisis. In crisis because we got 25 million people about. They're out of work or have stopped looking for work or are in jobs well beneath their skills. We got kids coming out of college that can't find jobs. We got people who wonder if they can stay on the family farm. We have people who wonder if manufacturing is going to just leave our country and go elsewhere. Iowa is not only a nation or a state that leads our nation in agricultural products, but it's also a leading state in manufacturing. This is an extraordinary state with a diverse economy. And Iowa's performing and faring better than the nation as a whole, but the nation as a whole is really struggling. And part of that reason is we're led by a man who's a fine fella, but he's out of his depth and doesn't understand how the economy works. I happen to believe that if you want to create jobs, it helps to have had a job. And I have spent my life in the private sector. I have been doing during my career what you have been doing, which is trying to make ends meet. My business helped me start a company, and then I helped work to try and manage enterprises to make them better if I could, sometimes successful, sometimes not. But I learned the lessons of a free economy over 25 years. And I believe that it's essential in Washington, if we're going to turn around the economy, to have someone who knows how the economy works and who spent time in the real economy and not someone whose sole professional experience is being a politician. Nothing wrong with being a politician, but let's send some citizens to Washington in addition to some politicians to Washington. I happen to think that the reason that this recession was deeper than it could have been and the recovery is more tepid than it should have been is because the president just doesn't understand that his policies did the exact opposite of what the nation needed. He said he wants to create jobs and create the conditions that will let employers add jobs. But ask yourself this. Did promising to raise taxes help create jobs? No. Did Obamacare convince any small business to hire more people? No. If you're an energy-intensive business, did cap and trade and talk about higher energy costs or prices cause anybody to add any more jobs? No. Did Dodd-Frank, his financial regulatory reform, cause banks to give out more loans? No. On every dimension you can think of, in this president's first 2.5 years in office, the actions he took made it harder for entrepreneurs to build businesses, for banks to loan money, for big businesses to invest in capital and in people. And as a result, the American people are still suffering, and that's why I predict in this place, on this day, that in November of 2012, President Obama will not carry the state of Iowa. Now, I happen to believe, after a lifetime of work in the private sector and then some service in the governmental sector for only 4 years, I liked my experience as a governor. It was a terrific experience, but I didn't inhale politics. I'm still a business guy and a private citizen. And I've learned from my business experience that there are a number of things an economy has to do if it's going to perform better than the other nations around us and allow Americans to continue to have a standard of living that leads the world. Let me mention a couple of them. You have to have tax rates that are comparable with the competing nations. You have to have regulation and bureaucracy which is streamlined and modern and which encourages the private sector as opposed to burdening it. You have to have trade policies that work for us, not just for the other guy. You have to have energy policies that are intent to get America free of our dependence on foreign oil. You have to have the rule of law. And you might say, well, we already have the rule of law. Well, when the president stands, puts his hand on the scale of justice and says that we're going to give General Motors not to the senior lenders, but instead of the UAW, you question whether you have the rule of law. And when the National Labor Relations Board steps in and tells South Carolina you can't have a Boeing plant because you're a right-to-work state, you don't have the rule of law. Number six, you have to have institutions that build human capital. We're a capitalist nation, but that means not just capital of a physical nature, but capital of a human nature. We got to have great schools and universities and immigration policies that bring in the best and brightest. And finally, number seven, you have to have a government that doesn't consistently spend more money than it takes in. You've got to balance your budget. Over these last several months, we've watched people in Washington debate about what we should do about the debt in this country. And there were a number of people on the other side of the aisle who consistently pleaded to raise taxes. And the people on our side of the aisle said, absolutely not. Let me tell you a number of the reasons. One is we don't want to take more people out of people's pockets, money out of people's pockets. I don't mean people in your pockets. I don't keep anybody in my pocket. That's very, very small. Exactly right. We don't want to take more money out of people's pockets, number one. Number two, we know if government takes money out of people's pockets, it's not going to help the economy. And number three, government is already too big. During the days of John F. Kennedy, government at all levels, the federal, state, and local level, comprised about one quarter of our economy, 27%. Today, government at all levels comprises about 37% of the economy. We're inching closer and closer to a nation that no longer has free enterprise. And so we insisted that we cut federal spending, that we cap federal spending, and that we have a balanced budget amendment, and that is the right course for America if we're going to rein in the excessive growth of government. You know, I don't know why the president is as misguided in managing our economy as he is. Sometimes I wonder whether he takes his political inspiration from the Social Democrats of Europe. I don't think Europe is working there. I sure don't think Europe will work here. I happen to believe that we got it right and they got it wrong. I believe in freedom and opportunity, American style. I believe in capitalism and free enterprise. I believe in the Constitution as it was framed by the founders. By the way, I like all the amendments, not just a few of them. Those who've served in state government are particularly fond of the 10th Amendment. Those that don't know it, I'll give you the top line. The 10th Amendment says roughly this. It says that those powers not specifically granted to the federal government are to be reserved by the states and the people. And so when the president imposes Obamacare on the entire nation, he not only puts in place bad policy, he not only puts in place an entitlement we can't afford, he tramples on the principle of the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, and that's why it's going to be repealed on day one of my administration if I'm lucky enough to be president. Let me tell you one more thing. I believe in the American people. I know a lot of people these days are cynical and skeptical. I love this country, and I love the country because of the people of this country. I've had the chance to go across the country. I've met people across Iowa. Last time around, we visited a lot of counties here, made a lot of friends. This is a fundamentally patriotic nation. We love America, not just for our rocks and rills and templed hills. We love America because of the values that this nation has promoted around the world and preserved for ourselves, for our descendants, and for our friends around the world. We love America. We show that love day in and day out. And one way we show it is when the national anthem is being played, by placing our hand over our heart. That tradition began during the days of FDR. He asked us to put our hand over our heart in recognition of the blood that was shed by heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. We love this country, and because of that love of this country, I'm convinced that despite our challenges, and you know what they are, $14 trillion in debt, $62 trillion in unfunded promises by government, jihadists that want to kill us, Russia that's resurgent with its energy resources, China that's now an assertive grand power. We face real challenges in the world, but I'm convinced that the patriotism of the American people, if combined with leaders that will actually tell the truth and live with integrity and who know how to lead America back to greatness, that we will rise to the occasion, overcome those challenges, and remain as we have always been, the greatest nation on earth and the hope of the earth. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, you guys. Now I got to take a couple of questions here, so I'm gonna take some questions back here. Oh, you got a written question here. Do I? You have to repeat that, please. You know, it's become a very popular. The question was, do I support raising the cap on Social Security taxes so that rich people pay their fair share? You know, there was a time in this country that we didn't celebrate attacking people based on their success, and when we didn't go after people because they were successful. And I happen to think I've watched this president go across the country attacking people, if you want to speak, you can speak. But right now it's my turn. So let me continue. And that is this. All the streets in America are connected. I've watched people attack Wall Street. You know what? We're connected. We're not going to tear down other Americans. We want to make sure people do pay their fair share. Half the people in this country pay no income tax at all. All right? So when we talk about fair share, we got to think about what is a fair share for the American people. But this we know. We don't want to raise taxes on the American people. We don't want to grow government because government is too large already. We want to restrain the growth of government. And when it comes to Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, the truth is the promises we're making 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, and 40-year-olds have to be promises we can keep. And you may say we should just raise everybody's taxes. Do you know what the tax rate would have to be able to honor the promises of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid if we just raise taxes and leave the programs as they are? Right now, those programs combined take a payroll tax out of your earnings of 15.3%. That would have to rise to 44%. We're not going to do that. And so I'm glad you're on Social Security. Hold on just a moment. Hold on just a moment. Hold on just a moment. You know what? I get a chance. I can let you speak in a moment. No. I came here to speak, and you'll get to ask a question. Hold on a second. I'll let you speak. Hold on a second. Let me speak. Hold on a second. Just let him talk. Let him talk. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We're also on Medicare.
Good. It's a great program. We want to keep them. All right. Let's let him finish. Let's let him finish. All right. Let's get his answer. Okay. All right. You've had your chance. Anything else you want to say? Well, I'll tell you, the way this is going to work is that you get to ask your question, I get to give my answer. If you don't like my answer, you can vote for someone else. But now it's my turn to give my answer. You ready for my answer? I'm not going to raise taxes. That's my answer. I'm not going to raise taxes. And if you want somebody that can raise taxes, you can vote for Barack Obama. But let me tell you what Barack Obama's doing. Barack Obama is killing this economy. Barack Obama is why 25 million people don't have jobs and can't find jobs. And the okay, next question. We got another question. I got to give it over here. Yes, sir. You've had your turn. I've had my turn. Right.
To raise revenue and balance the state budget. You were elected president. Would you do the same thing?
The question is, as governor of Massachusetts, I closed loopholes on big banks that were abusing our tax system. And would I do the same as president? Let me tell you, let's describe what is a loophole and what's raising taxes. In my opinion, a loophole is when someone takes advantage of a tax law in a way that wasn't intended by the legislation. And we had in my state, for instance, we had a special provision for real estate enterprises that owned a lot of real estate. And it provided lower tax rates in certain circumstances. And some banks had figured out that by calling themselves real estate companies, they could get a special tax break. And we said, no more of that. You're not going to game with the system. And so if there are taxpayers who find ways to distort the tax law and take advantage of what I'll call loopholes in a way that are not intended by Congress or intended by the people, absolutely I'd close those loopholes. But there are a lot of people who use the word loophole to say, let's just raise taxes on people. And that I will not do. I will not raise taxes.
I've got a non-controversial question. Real peaceful. I'm a peacock farmer and a school teacher. Sorry about that. And I supplement my income as a peacock farmer. And since the last election, my peacock farm went away. I was thriving, was going to add more people, and did real good in the state of Iowa, kept everything here. What can you assure me, if I support you, that perhaps that maybe you'll make small businesses like mine, not only mine, but everyone in Iowa and the United States, to be better?
I can tell you this. I'm not going to send you checks.
No,
I'm not going to promise checks. I know you don't want them, but I want to make sure people know that. I'm not going to do what almost every politician does when they get on this stage. And I'm not talking about this stage. I mean figuratively. When they get on the public stage, what they do is get up to the American people and promise all sorts of free stuff and say, I'm going to give you this, and it won't cost anything. And that's just not the truth. It's time in America to tell people the truth. We have to spend. We have to earn what we spend. We can't spend more than we earn year after year after year. We can't go to China and other nations and say, give us your money, so we can spend more than we earn. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to make America the most attractive place in the world to start a business, to grow a business, to expand a business of any place in the world. And I'm going to do that by making sure that our corporate tax rates are the same as the corporate tax rates of other nations around us. Right now, they're the highest in the world. I don't want them to be the highest in the world. I want them to be competitive. I want our regulations to be competitive and modern and up to date. I want our trade policies to open up markets outside the U.S. Look, agriculture is one of the biggest exports we have. People in this state understand the importance of trade with other nations. This president, in 2.5 years, has not entered into any trade agreements with any other nation. That doesn't help us add jobs. Other nations in Europe and in Asia have put together some 40 different trade agreements to open up trade. We need to do the same thing. I'll make it easier for you to sell peacocks, to sell peacocks to other nations. If people want to buy, what do they buy? They buy the feathers, or what do they buy?
I'm selling all over the UK. But
he's selling feathers to the UK. I'll help you get feathers to the UK. Thank you.
Iowa.
From Iowa. I want to make this a place that's great for business, because business is good for people and for jobs. We want more good jobs and higher incomes, and I want to make this a better place for both. Thank you. Back there. Let's ask that guy. Yeah. You know, we've got a man back here who's asking a question. No. Please. That's a darn good question, isn't it? All right, the question was this. He said he's a senior citizen, but on Social Security in the last 2 years, he hasn't seen a raise. Congress has voted itself a raise in each of the last 2 years. It sure would make an awful lot of sense, wouldn't it, for Congress to link their pay to what's happening to people on Social Security and retirement. Congress shouldn't get a better deal than the people on Social Security. By the way, all this discussion about entitlements and Social Security and Medicare, recognize I and the other people who are talking about this want to make sure we can keep those programs, and that we assure that the next generations know they will have those programs. And I will make sure. You want to raise taxes? You want to raise taxes? Great. That's your right. Vote for somebody. Vote for somebody who wants to raise taxes. That's just fine. That's the nation of a free society. Look, we have up here a group of people who think we should raise taxes in order to pay for their benefits. How many agree? Okay, you got your answer. I don't agree with you. So your turn has been heard. You've got your chance to speak. I've got my chance to speak. I'm going to take one more question. What's your name?
My name is Daniel Simmons.
Daniel Simmons. You're 23. And where are you from? Who brought you here? Are you, who are you working with?
Myself.
You've got a little video camera here. Okay, right.
Social Security cannot legally add a single dime to the deficit. Do you agree? Do you agree? I'm also a teacher. Do you agree that Social Security should take no part in deficit reduction negotiations? That Social Security should take no part in deficit reduction negotiations.
That's your question?
That's my question.
Okay, can I answer? Do I believe that Social Security should take no part in deficit reduction negotiations? Is that the question? And the answer is this. Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid account for about half of federal spending. Just hold on. About half of federal spending. And if we are ultimately, not just this year, but over the coming decades, going to be able to balance our budget and not spend more than we take in, we have to make sure that the promises we make in Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare are promises we can keep. And there are various ways of doing that. One is we could raise taxes on people. That's not the way that corporations are people, my friend. We can raise taxes on, of course they are. Everything corporations earn ultimately goes to people. So where do you think it goes? What? Whose pockets? Whose pockets? People's pockets. Okay, human beings, my friend. So number one, you can raise taxes. You can raise taxes. That's not the approach that I would take. Number two, you can make sure that the promises we make are promises that we can keep. And in my view, the areas that you have to consider are higher income people receiving less rapid growth in their benefits, in their inflators. You don't agree with that? You want to give wealthier people bigger portion? That's your right. I think we should have what's known as progressive indexing. I think we also should consider a higher retirement age. Those are things that should be considered as part. That's my view. You may disagree with it. That's my view. But my view is we do not make promises we can't keep. You guys, I want to say this. I appreciate the chance to be with you. We got a few folks up front who got here early to make sure that they could make their voice heard. My guess is they won't be voting for me. That's fine. We have a lot of people running for office. They won't be voting for any of the Republicans. They can vote for President Obama. But you guys are going to be voting for the next president of the United States, a person who believes in America, a person who will balance our budget, a person who will not raise taxes, and I am that person. Thanks, you guys. Great to be with you.